Coming up, the greatest threat to your mental health at work. I'll tell you what it is and how to deal with it. And then, the data is back on a four-day work week. We're going to break it down and coach you up. Let's go. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and in life. More money, more meaning is our goal. And all week we've been talking about the dreaded pandemic of burnout. Oh, boy. Just a quick review, by the way, if you've only been able to join us for 1 or 2 days on the Ken Coleman YouTube channel. And, of course, on the podcast, you can get all of the episodes. We talked Monday about no meaning and purpose in your work as a cause of burnout. We talked about being overworked, simply overwhelmed on Tuesday. We talked about underappreciation, not being recognized for your unique contribution on Thursday. And today we're going to talk about the toxic work environment. Yeah. Negativity that is unruly, uncontrolled. That's what we're talking about. We're going to go further to define this. But I want you to understand that the toxicity that we're going to outline in moments can crush your spirit to the point that you can be so confused by the fact that you go, wait a second, I Ken, you say that if I use what I do best, my talent, to do work that I really love, passion, to create results that matter deeply to me, they're missional. When that happens, I'm in my sweet spot. And that's true. But do you know that you could be in your sweet spot, but be in a really crappy culture, and it can just sap you? This happens more than you realize. And it creates confusion because you go, wait a second, something doesn't, I love the work, but I don't want to be here anymore. And the reality is that's because our environment in which we do the work is crucial to meaning and money. Got to have it all. Got to be in your sweet spot in a sweet place. How about that? Never said that before, but that's what it boils down to. You want to be happy at work? Be in your sweet spot in a sweet place. Sweet being they care about humans. All right, so let's get into this. We're not talking about, by the way, and boy, we live in a day and age where we get so irritated and we're just so coddled to that any minor annoyance, we could tend to go, well, it's toxic. No, it's not. Don't act like my teenagers. What am I talking about? The most popular word in the Coleman house is annoying. They're so annoying. My teacher's annoying. Dad, you're being annoying. That person is so annoying. They've ruined the word for me. It's a buzzword for teenagers today. I don't know what it's going to be 10 years from now, but I'm telling you, today's teenager, their buzzword is annoying. Which makes me want to be annoying. You know, that's how we get, that's how we build up tolerance to things. You know, I was allergic to dust when I was a kid. You know what they did? They gave me shots for 3 years. Every week, I got a little bit more liquid dust. So when I hear my kids talk about how everything is annoying, I just want to be annoying. All right, I'm going to annoy you some more. You don't even know what annoying really is. Let me model it for you. All right, but I digress. So I'm making my point, am I not? We're not talking about minor annoyances and discomforts, and you can't call that toxic. There's a difference between, let's just use medicine as an example, all right? When I was a kid, the nastiest medicine in the world was K-O-Pectate, something like that, you know, or milk of magnesia. Or old school Robitussin, where they didn't try to put any sugar in it. It just tasted awful. Now, that is what we can call an annoyance. But a toxic drink would kill you. Let's be clear of the difference. All right? Watch. If you're watching me, I'm going to give you a visual. Okay? Annoying and old school Robitussin is this. Ugh. It's an irritant. Ugh. All right? Toxic is... I'm dying. All right? Did we get the picture? Okay. Back to my notes. So where abuse and harassment and discrimination are present, I could add manipulation. That's truly toxic. We're talking about these types of things. No unity at all. I mean none. It's backbiting, everybody for themselves. In other words, it looks like a Baptist church committee meeting. Right? It's yucky, nasty backroom politics. No unity. Chaos. Nobody knows what the crap is going on and why it's going on. It's a four-alarm fire. It's a disaster. In other words, you ever been to playtime at a daycare center when you got 24-year-olds going, after they've been all sugared up? If that's what the environment is like, that's toxic. How about gossip? How about a lack of vision? How about no ethics? Like, there's just bad stuff going on. I'll never forget this as long as I live, Alex. That call we got last year, and I think it was around this time, or maybe it was the first of this year, talking about that holiday party. We had a caller call in and say, literally, last night's holiday party, one of our leaders got drunk and hit a woman. By the way, folks, if you're listening, nothing's wrong with the audio. That was my reaction at the time. What do you mean he got drunk and hit a woman? Is this like a reality show gone bad? No, it happened. Did he get fired? No. What? I'm sorry? All right, that's toxic. So if you're in one of these horrible situations, you aren't stuck. Now, some of you feel like you are stuck because financially you go, Ken, I'm barely making it paycheck to paycheck now. I can't lose a paycheck. I get it. I'm not asking you to jump and make an already bad situation in your life worse. I'm saying we are going to get out as soon as we can. All right. Now, so here are three options. If you are physically unsafe or sexually harassed, you do leave today. Now, that's the only asterisk to don't jump now is if you are physically unsafe because of physical or sexual abuse or something like that. That, let me just tell you something. We're out. And if you got to go work 2-3 part-time jobs to make it through, you must protect yourself. There's no option there. We're out. We're calling the authorities and we're out. We're going to take care of ourselves. We are not going to allow a paycheck to allow ourselves physical unsafe environment. Right now, number two, stand up to the bully. Some of this stuff can be just nipped in the bud. You'd be surprised. You can be toxic over here, but for a season, you can get them out of your life. I got a question on Instagram yesterday. Ken, what do I do about toxic coworkers? How do I treat them? I said, always act like you're very busy. I mean, every time they come around you, I got to take a call. I don't care if you lie. Make up a call. I'm fine with that. I call that civil disobedience. Stand up to the bully. Look at him and go, let me tell you something. I'm not going to fight with you. I'm not going to get involved in your drama. Hear me say, don't ever talk to me that way again. Not going to put up with it. You want to go to the principal's office on this? Let's go. Third option, if your concerns aren't addressed when you take this up to leadership, you're out. Go find something else. We're looking for the door. Don't put up with this crap. Coming up next, the results of the biggest 4-day work week study done to date. Of the people, by the people, for the people. I am the self-appointed man of the people. And just a fair warning here. Some of you very traditional leaders are going to be uncomfortable with this segment. But that's okay. You just need to listen. I'm not endorsing what I'm about to get into. I'm going to give you my take after I reveal the numbers and let you know what's going on. But some of you folks that are very, very traditional are going to be a little nervous. And that's okay. It, by the way, change makes us uncomfortable. Sit with it. Sit in the discomfort. All right. By the way, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Got to let our radio audience know. You know, you got all these different audiences. I got YouTube. We got podcasts. All the things. By the way, if you're enjoying the show, would you do one huge favor for me? Two, actually. Would you give us a good rating and would you share it with somebody? It's word of mouth marketing. We're growing, but I want to grow faster. I want to help a lot of people. And if you enjoy the show, you understand that any marketing that this team comes up with is never going to be as good as you going, hey, I really like this Ken Coleman show. All right? Thank you. All right, here we go. Global four-day week pilot was a huge success. Organizers say, this is coming from CNN, after 6 months, most of the 33 companies and 903 workers trialing the schedule with no reduction in pay are unlikely ever to go back to a standard working week, according to organizers of this pilot program. The organization behind it is the four-day week global organization, nonprofit, and 27 participating companies responded to a survey after it was done, the study. And 97%. Oh, boy. Alex, this is going to make a lot of people uncomfortable. But again, I'm just... Hey, don't shoot the messenger. My opinion on this next. I'm going to give you my opinion. And then you can get angry at me. 97% of the 495 employees who responded said they want to continue the four-day week. Majority of companies taking part in the trial were based in the United States and Ireland. Oh my gosh, Alex. It's rare that I'm right. I've been married 24 years. Do you know how many times a guy's right in a 24-year marriage? Amanda held up two or three fingers. I think she's right. As much as I hate to admit it, Amanda, it's just the facts. So I'm beaten down. Beaten down. No, I'm kidding. Stacey's lovely. But I'm never right, and I got three teenage kids. So I'm a man and a father of three teenagers, which means I'm never right, except for on this show. And I said, did I not, Alex? I said, this is coming to our shores quicker than you think. And the most of these companies, by the way, there's another study. We're waiting on the results of that, I think, coming in February over in the UK. This study is coming from the majority of the companies were in the United States and Ireland. All right. I got excited for a second. And those responding, the company leadership said they rated their overall experience with the four-day work week 9 out of 10. And they based the 9 out of 10 on productivity and performance. Fascinating. By the way, after just bragging about how right I was, let me also say, I said it was coming. I didn't think it would succeed as much as it has. Because we did an interview with a Los Angeles-based agency owner on the show. And she said there were some good and some bad, but they did not stay with it. They're going to try to get back to it. They got to figure it out. More on that in a moment. Workers were positive about the trial, saying lower levels of stress, fatigue, insomnia, and burnout were the positives, and improvements in their physical and mental health. Company earnings were good. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, this is blowing the water. Right. I mean, this is blowing people that are critics of this out of the water. This is really interesting. Average revenue rose 38% when compared with the same time period last year. Juliet Shore, professor of sociology at Boston College and the trial's lead researcher, said that employees did not report an increase in intensity of their work. Now, that was one of the factors that our friend, our CEO friend who we did this interview with, and I forget her name and I'm so sorry, but you know what? It is what it is. I got too much on my brain. One of the things that she told us was that it did increase intensity for her team. Well, this study, most of the people saying it did not increase the intensity of their work. And again, I'm going to tell you why I think that is in a moment. The quote from Juliet Shore says, this suggests that the work reorganization strategy succeeded and performance was not achieved via speeding up, which is neither sustainable nor desirable. John Leland, Chief Strategy Officer for Kickstarter, a crowdfunding site we all probably know of Kickstarter. They participated in this trial, and he described the four-day work week as a true win-win. His quote, it has been transformative for our business and our people. Staff are more focused, more engaged, and more dedicated, helping us hit our goals better than before. As I mentioned, there's a separate six-month trial in the United Kingdom also being run by 4-Day Week Global. And it included 70 companies and 3,300 workers. It's wrapped up this month. The results, which is even bigger than this trial that I'm citing, are due in February. By the way, Alex, let's get somebody up from 4-Day Week Global on the show sometime in February when their results are. I want to dive deep. I'd like a deep dive interview there. I think that might be interesting for our audience. Okay, so here's my take on the 4-Day Work Week, okay? This will work for some companies, obviously, right? This is not so much my opinion here. The data says it's working for some companies. This is a glowing report. But again, I've shown you the other side of it. On this show, I interviewed a CEO, a small agency who did this, and there were positives, but overall it was more negative, and they shut it down for now to look at what worked, what did not work, and then they're going to try it again. So all that to say, do I think the four-day work week is now going to be here to stay? Absolutely. Is it going to work for some companies? Absolutely. However, just on sitting with an executive who tried it and shut it down until they could figure out how to do it better, let me tell you what I took away from that interview. It's going to come down to systems and execution of systems. So it will be trial and error. I think the adoption of a four-day work week is going to come down to which companies can create systems and then execute on the systems to where it is a win-win, as we're seeing in some of this data. Some leaders will figure it out better than others. All that to say, as with any trend that is adopted, certainly in the business space is what we're talking about here, as an operational trend, there will be early adopters who fail. There will be early adopters who succeed. And so what will happen is it will take some time for those who failed to figure out what worked from the early adopters. And so you will see some experts that are going to emerge who said this worked. And you're going to see some big-time companies, Alex. I'm telling you, there'll be some big-time companies that try this and it will not work. There will be some big time companies that try this and it works. And it's going to further change the workspace. I'm just telling you. And I told you, there's some of you that are listening, leaders right now, and you go, ain't no way we're ever going to 4-day work week, which fine, that's great. But I'm telling you, it's here. And it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. But listen to me, I'm not saying the 4-day work week is not the magic pill. What will be the magic pill is what is the magic pill for good companies that have great cultures right now. And it's not about the 4-day work week. It is about system and executing on the system to create a healthy culture. Do you see the difference? Let me give you an example. If I went to Chick-fil-A this morning and I got a Chick-fil-A biscuit, which is, you know, they're going to have chicken breakfast biscuits in heaven. I'm certain of it. And Dan Cathy told me that's true. Okay. If I thank the person at the drive-thru this morning for my biscuit, what are they going to say to me? My pleasure. If I fly to Texas this evening and I get a Chick-fil-A spicy chicken sandwich, which will also be in heaven, and I say thank you, they're going to say my pleasure. That is that system or is that culture? It's culture, but where did it come from? System and executing on it. You see the difference? So that's the key to making any work schedule work. Welcome back to the Ken Colbert Show. I want to say hi to our YouTube crazies. These are my people here in the chat room on YouTube. They watch live almost every day, and they comment to each other and little chatter in here about Ken being a football coach or something. This is fantastic. And somebody was like, "What is that?" And then somebody goes, "Well, Ken loves his Wolverines, the Michigan Wolverines, all that good stuff." So I should point out that my Wolverines, if they take care of business this week against Purdue, Nathan, they will be in the college football playoff, and probably against TCU if TCU takes care of business. I'm going somewhere with this, Alex. Okay. And if they beat TCU, Nathan, presumably in the Fiesta Bowl, and I'm not going to travel out to that one, I don't think, but I could be talked into it, to Phoenix. I love Phoenix. The national championship game will be in Los Angeles. And so it occurs to me, I'm not above being bought, folks. So if there's anybody out there that has incredible connections in Los Angeles or whatever, I'm most assured that I'm going to have access to tickets. I got connections at Michigan. But there might be some other fun stuff out there. So I'm going to put it out there, Alex. Just see what happens. I'm just going to put it out there. We'll see. Because I'm going. So I'm giving you notice. If we make it to the national championship game, I will have to do my show from L.A. that day on January the 6th, or we'll have to record a show. So I'm just letting you know. So there you go. Okay, real quick. It's rare that I'm right three times in one day. I told Alex I got to share. This is unbelievable. This is the trifecta of correctness for me. I've been telling you that our feckless Fed chair, Jerome Powell, is a moron, and he helped create this inflationary situation that we're in. He did. And I said that this desire to raise interest rates to create pain in the employment market through raising unemployment. And by the way, folks, if you think I'm being mean to poor Jerome, I'm not. Okay? It comes with the territory. But he said it, and he said it over and again, and I've read his quotes on the show. And I said, this is silly. You need to leave the market alone. Let the free market figure it out. Because if you screw around with interest rates, you're going to put us in a recession designed to affect the hot employment market, and you're going to create this old phrase that most of you learned about in sixth grade called stagflation. And stagflation is where you have high inflation, okay, but then you see recession. So high inflation plus recession is stagflation. A stagnant economy with high inflation. Very simple. All right. Well, that's where we might be headed, because guess what? The October job report came out, and it was better than expected. Excuse me. Job growth was better than expected in November. Sorry. These are the November numbers. Payrolls increased 263,000 for the month, while unemployment rate was still at 3.7%. Economists surveyed by Dow Jones had been looking for an increase of 200,000, so it was even better than they thought. And the monthly gain was a slight decrease from October's number. So all that said, the Fed is trying to drive things down, and average hourly earnings jumped 0.6%. It's not working, Jerome. I told you. So you know what they're saying? Oh, great. All this good job data. Listen to how stupid this sounds. Everybody close your eyes, unless you're driving, and listen to what I'm about to say, because this is what the Fed is saying. I want you to listen. The job market is so hot, we have to keep raising interest rates to try to drive a recession. So we got to get this under control. Buffoonery, I say. Buffoonery! I don't even know if it's a word. I just made it up. I know buffoon is a word, but this is buffoonery, like bad bossery. All right. Enough. Robert is here on the line in Indianapolis, Indiana, home of Amanda's beloved Colts. Robert, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. It's a pleasure to talk to you today. I just want to say that Amanda's a rock star. She's doing excellent.
So. I know. She is. I don't deserve her. That's a fact. So what's going on?
So, hey, man, look, I'm an engineer. I'm really good at what I do. I'm married and baby step two right now, and I was calling you because I really need your help with clarity of where I need to go next. I feel like it's sucking the life out of me, and I just feel stuck. So, yeah.
Well, you're not stuck, and you're just uncertain. That's my guess. Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So what's sucking the life out of you? Is it the work, or is it the environment, or is it both?
It's really both. It's just a heads up. I took the Get Clear assessment yesterday.
Oh, good. And?
And I thought that it was fairly accurate.
Okay. So what ideas began to pop up? And I don't mean the section where we give you some professional possibilities. Those are simply suggestions at best. But when you read your purpose statement, what began to percolate in your mind?
It confirmed that I really enjoy helping people. Like, that's a passion of mine. It confirmed that I'm good at that as far as a talent as well.
Good.
It confirmed that I was analytical too. But all the right. mission is what really stood out to me.
What was the missional result?
Is service.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. So tell me what your top three passions were. In other words, work you enjoy doing. And I know they're just one word labels, but they're very illuminating. What were your top three?
My top three were planning, analyzing, and researching.
Do you agree with that just as a label?
I do.
Yeah. So when you think about planning, when you think about researching that would go into that, so they, you see how those all work together? I got to research, yeah. And then I got to analyze what I research, and then I got to plan something with that, right?
Right.
That gives you juice, yes or no?
Yes.
All right. So now we take passion, that's what we love to do, and we focus on what motivates us, which is mission. And service was your top. I'm curious to know, do you have your report in front of you?
I do.
What was above the average line on mission? There are six missional results. In other words, six motivations that we as humans can have. Your top one was service. I'm curious, what else was above average on your missional results?
That would be achievement, influence, and efficiency.
Boom. Okay. So what that means is those are all above average. So you need to take those three mission results and tie them into service. So you want to serve people, but you want to be able to see the numbers. You're a scoreboard right. guy.
Yeah.
Did everybody hear that? He said, right. He said, yeah. So we want to serve people, but I want to see how many people I'm serving. I want to be under pressure. I want to see a maximization there. And then efficiency. And so you want to do it very well. So that's where yeah. the efficiency comes in. And then what was the other one above the average line?
So it was influence.
Influence. So now that really comes in. I want to serve people. So I want to come in and it's very problem focused, but it's about turnaround. And then I want to keep score. So that's a high level job description. Do you see that?
Yes.
We haven't even gotten into your top talents because it doesn't matter as much. Because the talents, anything above your average line on your talents, your top three plus, anything above the average line in the assessment results, those are what we would call your tools. The top three are your premium tools. The other ones above average tools can turn into premium tools with some effort, some training, some experience. So what you do is you look at all that and you go, that's my job description. Where are the places in the world of work that I can do that? Does that make sense?
It does.
And I'm going to tell you, my friend, you're just lacking ideas. It's uncertainty. You admitted that right out of the gate. So those assessment results are for you to go back and look at every day in the morning, every night before you go to bed, and just allow yourself to review, get out a pencil and some paper, and begin to write down ideas as your head and heart begin to align. And then start looking at jobs that are available. Look at job descriptions and go, does this job description match up with what my assessment results say? Do you get that? Yes or no?
I do.
My man. So here's the deal. Do that work. Come back to me. Let's schedule another call with some specific ideas and we'll coach through it. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.